We are at 9:30, so all right. So, read it down there. Notice hereby given the Commissioner Court of Orange County, Texas will hold a workshop session on Tuesday, March 31st, 2026 at 9:30 a.m. in the Commissioner's Courtroom of Orange County Administration Building. Item number one, discussion and possible action concerning revisions to the county travel policy as presented by the county auditor. Penny, you are up next. And like I said, I would remind we'd worked on some of this already. We ran out of time, so we were just trying to finish it up today. When no action can be made today, it won't be made until after. We did, during the previous court ride to this, vote and adopt the per diem rate for the GSA rate on the meals. So we've already, on overnight stay. So we already did that. So because we had some people that were traveling, we wanted to make sure they got the new rate. So that's part step. So this is the rest of it. So Ms. Penny, you are up.
All right. Now, I was asked to put this in the travel in the personnel policy format, and so this does not follow along with what was given out before. So if y'all, we were winging it before, and if y'all bear with us, we'll continue to. And any questions you have, we'll make sure that it is in this policy as well. And I think you'll see that once we get past the first page and a half, it's pretty much the same thing in the same order. It's just got now that has the numerical outline with it. So stop me at any point and we can go over anything. But I just kind of thought that since we put it in this different format, we'll kind of hit the highlights again. Anyone that wasn't here before, catch everybody up and make sure we're all on the same page.
Wait on you.
Y'all good with that?
Mm-hmm.
So, before, the name of the travel policy, and it's policy number 330 in our personnel manual. It was just travel. I put travel and travel related expenses to make sure that things that we are putting in through the travel appeal, such as your registration. So that's mainly what that extra word is for. So you have your registration, possibly your licensing, membership dues, that type of thing. You'll also pay in through when we talk about registration items that are done with membership and licensing will also be done just like registration. Purpose before didn't have. It's going to be. When you travel, it should be reasonable. We should not have to say that the policy is going to state that the travel is reasonable and it's necessary to do for the county business. It's approved county business is what we're traveling on.
Who makes that decision?
Yeah, I was fixing to ask that too. Who?
That
needs to be called out there, doesn't it?
If authority, when we talk about authority and responsibility, if that doesn't answer your question, then let's circle back to that, if that would be all right. Because we have scope and then authority. In scope, I added some additional wording, and basically this additional wording is that if a department is also under a separate authority, such as a state agency. This is mainly for adult probation and items of that nature, or if there is a grant that's specifically done that's under a specific state agency that has a specific written travel policy that states that they can use that, if they can choose, then they can choose. And all I wanted is to state that within our policy that if a difference is chosen, then it needs to be given to the audit department so that we can make sure that everything is according to the policy.
Yeah, but you have that trial. And majority of what that's going to be is for the probation. That's probably 85-90% of that would be using that.
Correct.
Because they fall under it. Different set of guidelines, but you just need documentation that supports that.
They can choose. It states in the CSCD manual that they can choose, and I just wanted and we've already talked about that we're all good with it. Just wanted it in the record
stated
that
in
we
the
have a written policy.
Yeah.
the authority and responsibility, the authority to authorize travel is up to Commissioner's Court. That is in Local Government Code 152.411, that they set the travel, they approve set travel expenses for all county officials and employees paid wholly with county funds. The policy prior had that if you exceeded 800 miles round trip in a travel, that it had to be approved by court prior to leaving. I just added in there that if it's within Texas, if the commissioner's court wants to make that change, that it does not have to come before court. So there are places, not many, but there are a few places that you can go and still be within Texas, and it be more than an 800 mile trip.
Be a big state round trip.
Halfway across.
Okay. We talked about this last week that in the local government code, if an elected official, if you have lost the primary election or decide not to run again, that commissioner's court has to approve any travel after that. If there's any extraordinary circumstances that prevents compliance with this policy, there are times when things that we have not thought of come up. All this says is that that question must be approved by commissioner's court. Prior, it was department head and auditor. I made that change so that if an extraordinary circumstance comes up, they're going to have to.
Back up to the part where you're, if you're not going to run again, you're retiring, blah, blah, blah.
Right.
Can we put it in there that unless it's required?
No, because this is what the local government code says.
Yeah.
This is from the local government code. I can put in there the actual.
Local government code?
Yeah, because the. And then I think the question was that if you lost the primary or if you weren't going to run again, and the state says that you are not, even like we're required to take so many classes, right? But if we don't run or we lose, whatever it is, then that requirement drops off of whoever's not running. You're not required for that particular year to do that, to do continuing education. You're not required to do it if you don't win or if you don't decide not to run. So that's why we put that in.
I do not have it with me, but I'll get it for you.
And it'd be good just to list that local government code in here with that.
Right. So, I have a question. So, if just in the event that they didn't win the primary, and so in the local government code says that they're not allowed to do the continuing education.
It's not that they're not allowed to.
They're
not required to.
Before court to do the extent. That's all. Okay. All right. So that was good.
You can still come. So that's an example. So you decide you're not going to run again or you lose.
Right.
You can still go to the class. You're not required to at that point, according to the local government code. But if you still want to go, you just have to come to court and say that we're good. You know, I still want to take the classes and finish my old curriculum or whatever it was.
Okay.
You still can do it, but you're not required to do it at that point. So since you're not required to do it, we want it to come to the court for approval. And really the reason this is just to protect whoever's coming in next from not draining their
phones. That was going to be my next question. The one that is going in, do they get to go?
Well, they don't get to start until the next year.
Right, that's definitely. Okay.
Has that ever been an issue before?
We did have someone who drained the deal. No, but there's a lot of other expenses in there that were being done. So this is just one of them.
And remember, it's mainly for that last 3 months of the year. So
it went.
Can be
yeah.
6 months.
Maybe taxpayers pay for vacation.
Mm-hmm. And that just just protects that.
It is my duty to make sure and enforce that all payables and financials are in strict accordance with the law. This is just a different wording of that, that upon adoption of this policy by Commissioner's Court, the county auditor shall implement, interpret, and enforce this policy in accordance with all other applicable federal laws and state laws and this policy and county policies. The prior policy or the current policy basically states that the department heads will make sure that the employee understands the travel policy. The department heads' authority and responsibility is a little bit more than that. They need to make sure that travel is at the discretion of and must be authorized by the county official and department head. The travel must be related to their duties and responsibilities of that county office or the authorized by commissioner. So if they're going to be taking on a new duty or something of that nature, we need to make sure that whatever training that the county is paying for is for county business. That will normally be, if it's authorized by the department, it should be for what the duties are that they're doing in the department. If they're going to be doing and above and beyond duties, then it needs to be authorized by the chief. The department head is over the department, and they need to make sure that documentation is in compliance with and is accurate for the travel. The employee is responsible and expected to show good judgment in claiming travel expenses. They need to make sure that they're taking into account the economy. We're not, as we keep saying, we're not the state, or we don't have unlimited pockets, and we need to make sure we're not trying to make people eat grilled cheese sandwiches, obviously, but we want to make sure travel is not excessive. It's for the reason we're there is to conduct county business. And so it needs to be reasonable, necessary, and follow the stated policy and guidelines. If an employee goes out and spends and does it on like a travel card or tries to has been done, it won't be an advance anymore, but if it's not for county business, it's considered to be personal expense, that expense will be disallowed, and that is the person who traveled, their responsibility to pay that. I'm adding, there's an added section in this policy for law enforcement and probationary travel. Most of the travel that is happening with transport, as well as inmates to hospitals, as well as juvenile probation, taking them to facilities and getting them to their when they have to court, other items such as that. We don't have 2 to 3 weeks advance notice that they can come to court, that everybody has any advancements. And so we have a special section to accommodate for that.
Can you go over that? I'm sorry. Don't scroll past that.
So Wesley was saying is that if there's a need for the
I get
the
sheriff, what, right.
And that section is actually, yeah, this is just the authority for that. So, I'm sorry, the authority for this travel will be approved by the official or department head. So the sheriff, the chief,
DA.
Craig, yeah. The DA. Yeah.
Chief, the sheriff's department has got the most employees probably to be affected by this because you're the largest department in the county. You haven't said a word. The sheriff's department has not said a word through these two things. Is there?
Yeah, we actually had meetings before.
Yeah, right. We've been.
I think that there's some issues that we will definitely bring up, and one of those issues is daytime travel, especially for people who transport prisoners and either don't have the opportunity to get them or
it's hard to transport them.
Criminal, I would imagine.
Yeah, criminal. So that's our biggest issue, and then I have a recommendation that I have written out too as well. I can give you a copy of it, but it's the travel part on that part, and Cody can probably elaborate on some of the questions that we've had too, because we talked about it yesterday, that just getting reimbursed for some of the meals, especially for that, and it going with the state guidelines when it comes to travel and per diem, because the state guidelines for the state employees is that they get meals after 6 hours of being away from the duty station.
And if we can talk about that during that travel, that is probably down in the policy.
I mean, and the other part we talked about, and you haven't put in here, right, the section about the approval process for regular travel, for expedited travel, for especially for the, for the guys that are doing the transport.
So it sounds like I jumped the gun.
You'll see you, please.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's been a lot of talk.
He had said that because it ain't got to it.
Yeah, he got to the one. There's the one point I wanted to make.
Well, there was a specific line in there about the sheriff. I thought this was a good opportunity to ask.
Hey, that's all right. And since you were asking on authority, that's this piece of this, and the one to the sheriff, the DA, adult, juvenile probation, department heads can authorize and approve expedited travel and travel expenses for transport and overseeing of inmates and or probationers, as well as for other necessary law enforcement travel activities in accordance with this policy. So that they may have where we've had, where there's a case that they think they've got new evidence for, they've got to go, and so our CID, many investigators may be going off, you know, and this covers that as well. Wanted to explicitly state that what we all know is that there has to be budget. In order for you to travel, there has to be a budget to travel. So you have to have money in your line item prior to travel in order to do that.
And I don't, I want to make sure we key on that one then just a little bit. Not that I don't know that anybody I see sitting in here has been guilty of it, but there has been some around. You need to truly track, and this doesn't just go just to your travel budget. This goes to all of your budgets to make sure that you, each department head is responsible, the elected officials responsible for tracking their stuff as they go. Not the job of the auditor department or the treasurer's office to make sure the money's there. That's you as the department head, you as the elected official, all to make sure that the money that you think you have is actually there. Because a lot of times what they'll do is they just keep going until they're told not to and they've already booked something. And so we want to make sure that more about just make sure you're watching what you're doing. That's the reason that your budget's printed. That's the reason that you have it. So you should be looking at that as you move along, especially when it gets towards the end, because you'll have an expended budget that you've spent money on, but it hasn't come in out of the budget line item yet. So whenever you go in there and look, if you're not really paying attention, you think you still have $300 left, but you really don't because it hadn't passed through. But you should know that if you're tracking it as you go. So. And that goes for all kind of stuff that's within our budget. That's probably one of the biggest things we run into. People are spending more than they have, and you have to go back and tell them you can't do it.
And I'd like to reiterate on that, because as things have gotten more expensive, and we just passed the GSA rate, and so every employee now is going to have basically at least $20 more in their meals. Hotels aren't cheap. If we have, with the travel on transport, especially that's in flights, we can eat up a budget very quickly.
And to that point, we have, I think over the last several years, because we've been having good budget years, actually have revenue, and we've tried to increase everybody's budgets across the board on everything. But I will tell you, just as a fair warning, that depending on what the state legislature does next year and what we think they're going to do, it's going to get very, very tight. And we're going to have to watch, because it's because if they do what I think they're going to pass next year, there won't be increases in budget. It'll be going the other way. So I just want everybody to kind of get used used to start looking at that now. It's going to get different after the next budget. I mean, after the next legislative session, if they pass that, and I think they're going to pass it. So this is just in preparation for that.
Unfortunately, I don't think the state sees the challenges that county and local government has on this regard, because they have their own whole program out there on the website called Catch Travel that was written for them. They have a lot of opportunities for state employees to do local or webinars, and they are enforced to do a lot of theirs in-house. And so they don't see that there's the need that we have to go other places to travel. And so it makes it more difficult when you have a large government body that is not having to do the same as you are making the policy. And I'm very well aware of that.
Welcome to the legislature.
Very few of them have ever served at a local level to understand what it is.
If you go out and you look at the text travel on the state comptroller's website, it mandates that state, that in order to take a class, they have to fill out forms and say why it would be something that they need to travel to. So a lot of those is pushed to be done in-house. I'm just telling you what's out there, and why it's a challenge to us. We've talked about before, so when we start talking about the policy of travel, it needs to be economical, it needs to be appropriate form of travel. A lot of what I've been talking about is what is pushed down from the Internal Revenue Code, that it's federal law that we absolutely have to observe Internal Revenue Code 26, U.S. Code Section 162 talks about trade or business expenses. Travel is included in that. There's lots of guidelines out there as to what is and what is not allowed as far as travel. One of the big things that is talked about, and what I know people get tired about the auditor's office going, well, you've got to give me a receipt for that. That is because that is part of the substantiation. In order to travel and be under what the IRS considers an accountable plan, is that you have to substantiate that it was for a business, what the purpose was, and that you have to be able to show receipts for most things. Per diem is a separate, and that's to make things where you're not having to get a receipt for all the meals. And so that gives us a little caveat, a little help, like letting us do per diem, not your receipts for your meals and your mileage. But with that being said, most everything else, even if it's not saying here, all travel expenses except for per diem allowances, meals, and mileage require you to give us an itemized receipt, or best proof possible for the county to pay or reimburse the expense. That means you have to tell me why you went. That's why we ask for an agenda, or say we won't pay this without an agenda. You have to show not just, okay, we get the agenda beforehand, but then when you get back, that's why we have to have certain certificates or take a picture in front of the, we've had that before. It's like, yeah, just take a picture in front of your little screen of what you're doing that day. Prove to me that you were there. That, you know, we paid for you to go to a class, but you were in a class.
Well, we have
you didn't have to bring that up.
I'm going to have to watch.
What would you say earlier? Also, if they do that, it'll make sure they don't have three arms in the picture. Yeah. That might be a trigger. You know,
I'll do it much better. The agenda that we obtain ahead of time isn't sufficient for proof. I've discussed with you all of my conferences. It's all electric, physical now. It's all an app we have to download that's only available for the conference. Wednesday at noon, the app like 3-2-1 disappears off your phone.
So, yes, so in that, yes, the agenda of beforehand, we need to do revenge travel. But once you are there, just take pictures and everything every day of you smiling next to.
With a name badge, can we do our fixed?
Yes, name badge is work. Yeah. Bring, give us a name badge back. And okay, I know that it sounds silly, not gonna say where, but prior employment and everything, we had where I know of that the conference was at a nice place, and it was like, oh, I don't need to go to that, and get it off and go shopping at the nice shops and go, and so, you know, at least that gives proof that I'm not saying anybody would do that, and. But
for myself, because of my position within the state, I do regularly travel to legislators' offices, and I don't know that many senators or legislative representatives want a photo. I mean, I go to Austin 3 times a year, so with my agenda for that, the main meeting,
well,
I would
tend to well, you'll also have the, or you that to, you like, did, either your repair or you'll have your...
Yeah.
I'll have the original
take
agenda.
Take a picture of the Capitol or something like that.
Yeah, there's ways that you can do it that's not, because like I said, the one-day trips or, you know, your overnight trip or something like that where you're going there. I mean, I do the same thing. Go up there and visit with different ones, and we have to do stuff. Start doing that here again pretty soon. You know, you just bring that stuff back. It's not, mostly it's about whenever you go to a class, it's a week-long class or 3 days or something like that. That's where the issue comes. We need that deal. And I will tell you, I know it's crazy because, and it's just different a little bit for us because we're having to start doing that. But I've talked to all the other county judges in our region, and they're all having to do the same thing for the same reasons. You know, it's not we're trying to do something separate from everybody else. We're trying to do whatever what's required by the law. Like everybody else is doing it. So.
And with that being said, the reason why we push for itemized is because when you get the statement on, people are like, well, you've got the credit card statement. That does not give us the detail. And we need to know what the detail was on that, not just that you were at the Hilton or the Hilton, you had the itemized say, who stayed, what's being charged.
The county's not paying for the mini bar.
Okay. It's incidentals.
That's exactly
right. It's water.
Just with a little whiskey in it.
We have to stay hydrated.
I'm going to move on.
Move on. Yeah. Go down a rabbit hole here.
I think this whole thing is.
Exactly. And let's bring that up here in just a few. I put this in here. Missy and I were talking on liability coverage. We just wanted to reiterate that, kind of change this. This was on said insurance coverage before. Talking with Missy, fine for other people to travel if it's in a county vehicle. That's fine. We do have coverage. Age is not a factor. That is fine. However, just make sure that remember that the county is not liable for personal liability and loss, theft, or damage, and that a non-employee cannot drive a county vehicle. And so that anything else will be, you know, different policy, not the travel policy. But we wanted to remind people, hey, if you're riding with somebody or somebody else is, well, you're riding, if somebody else is riding with you, and they can take a look. If you have additional people traveling, right, anything incremental, anything that's not for a single rate for you as a the business expense cannot be paid by the county. That's your personal, and that's going to be paid separately. Another agency, we have other agencies for judicial, especially, that pays for some of this, PAC will reimburse for some conferences and some items. If it's reimbursed, the county's not going to pay for it. Whether we pay for it up front, the county will get reimbursed, and that reimbursement will go back into the county or back into your line item. No double dipping. That's what that means. So let's talk registration fees. Kind of gone, in the old days, we were like, let's pay for registration with a purchase order. We still have a lot of places, especially CAP, that allows you to put your registration in on an invoice. So, i.e., you put in a requisition in a PO, and they'll invoice us, and we pay it that way. That gives us a lot of, that gives the detail as to who, where you're traveling, everything up front, easily to see in the ledger, in the general ledger. But in this day and age, especially when we're talking about getting into a conference room, a lot of registration, they don't let you register for the hotel unless you're registering also for the, you have to first register for the class and pay for that. And before they'll even let you go to the hotel side. And we understand that those room blocks are highly prized and they're getting to be smaller and smaller pools. And so if it's the case that you need to book that, you need to know that's going to open up at 8 a.m. and I'm going to have to try to get in and be one of the 30 people that's in that class. We put that on the credit card. And so that's what we're trying to get to. And we've tried to figure out a better way to do that and process the travel cards, so we'll talk about that in a minute. But you can now put registration, either do it through a regular PO. You've already got the vendor set up, you're already used to it, that's an easy way to do it. Go ahead and do that. I know every now and then we'll do a travel advance for that, where the Let me walk that back. Every now and then we'll do we're paying the event, the vendor, but you're going to take that check with you to the site, then it just has to be noted so that we don't bounce. So we just want to make sure of that. We are trying to, we're working on a new process to do processing of travel cards. So whenever we do that, we're working to, we want to be put in as a purchase order. I sent out, there was an opening info, everybody should have seen that by now, that we're going to process those as purchase orders for U.S. Bank. And I'd like to wait until the very end to talk about that and talk about software. So now let's talk about travel and what's considered by the IRS as it's overnight business travel. If it's during the day, they don't allow as much expenses. And that's after the overnight travel. So let's talk about the overnight travel, because that's more like pretty much what we had before. It just wasn't stated that it was specifically overnight travel, which it is. You have your lodging. I've updated the wording just a little bit, but basically the county will pay for your lodging to attend approved travel events. At the single room rate, unless sometimes they give you a double room for the same price, or a different, you can get a different room and it's the same or less price. Absolutely fine. If you want to share lodging, it certainly can't be where you mandate that your department shares, but if it's appropriate and acceptable by everybody, and it makes it affordable, that's allowed. But employees must take advantage of any specials, group rates, other discounts that are available whenever possible. This means if you're getting into the room, to try to get into the locked room, a lot of times they'll give us half price, more, on that conference to get into the conference rooms, if at all possible. The maximum rate set by the court does apply, and so you have that limit, and if your travel, your lodging is going to exceed the approved rate, which right now is $300, then you have to come to court. I know there are situations where that is going to happen, and so that just, it's just, you know, if the court understands that, because they're going to Austin as well, and these places that just remember the parade. Everybody else is there as well, and so they can demand it for you.
I don't know about the rest of the court, but if that comes to me, me and the judge stayed 8 miles down 35 in Austin, not at the host hotel one time. And it took us an hour and a half. We tried 3 or 4 different routes every day to find a different way. And it took us an hour and a half to get to the conference every day.
Yeah. And so what this is allowing is that if that was to happen, and the reason that happened was because the room block, we didn't make the room block. We could have got another room in the hotel, because whenever they block off the room block, it doesn't mean it's all the hotel rooms. There's still hotel rooms, but just not at that price. What this is saying is that you can, if you want to still, and you should stay at that hotel, if it's over the $300 rate, you can come to court and say, this is what I did it for, and you're fine. And that was the whole reason, because we wanted people to be able to stay there if it was an option, to be able to stay there. And not be locked in and right in the room block, because it's tough unless you're on the phone, Charlie, at 8 a.m. When it opens at 8 a.m., we don't get our rooms. Yes, but you know, but if you can't make that, then you still want to have the opportunity to stay there, because there still are rooms at that hotel, but they're going to be at a higher price. And if it's over the $300, you just bring it to court so we can approve it.
With that being said, remember the budget.
Yeah, well, yeah, within your budget.
Because whenever you're doing that, you're probably going to have to do a line on the paper and up the budget for that as well. So,
I do have a question.
So the chief has a question.
For us, I mean, usually that if these guys travel, and correct me if I'm wrong, they'll ask for the GSA rate for a room. Mm-hmm. Now, if they don't get that rate and it's over $300 and they have to travel, what do y'all usually do on that? I mean,
normally we try and call for approval. You know, I've been running into that a lot, especially my team's about to fly to Nashville, and they got a big concert going on at the same time that they're there.
Well, is that why they're going to Nashville?
I wish.
Yeah, he would be going if it wouldn't be his team. That's the difference.
I'll go.
How long is that $300?
I'm not looking for selfies.
Right here. And the cheapest hotel that I was at the time was almost $400.
And I believe we'll double check, but that is up to the commissioners, but if you approve the expedited travel, I think that is...
Yeah, that would fall under the expedited travel. We know that there's going to be situations that are right. We're trying our best to cover this thing to make sure that we get it to we can meet the government code and the IRS code of what we're supposed to do. But we do know there are situations that don't fit a perfect book. And so when we have those situations, we just have to bring it in. But if it's an expedited deal, what you're doing, you have to do what you got to do. You know, the idea is, and I will tell you the other side of it is, and you know, we were talking about it the other day, was that when you're traveling, is you got a really nice, clean, beautiful Holiday Inn right here, and then you got the Hyatt Hill Country Bastrop right next door. Remember, that's not where you're really supposed to go. That's more about what this is about. Make sure you're doing what's appropriate and not what's not.
And we're trying to have a balance, too. I know that what we're seeing lately on some of these conferences is that you can tell that there's been this kind of dance with the conference lodging and the block that they're giving. But they know that with some of these conferences, it's not just the department head that's going, that they need to be training to know logistics of their employees. And so that block is not accommodating that. And we're trying to maneuver those nuances as well as to how you can do that and how you can travel with, okay, travel with this number of people, but they got me in the conference room, right, and I'm there, but now my people are going to have to stay 5 miles down the road.
But I didn't get in my block either, and I emailed them, said, hey, can y'all open up some more rooms? And there was like 3 or 4 of us that couldn't get the block rate, and they called the hotel and said, hey, can y'all open up more rooms? And they did.
Well, and it depends on the hotel, and it depends on if they set the conference up. You know, if they set up the conference, they book us a certain block of rooms. You know, and sometimes the hotel will use that discretion to do that. Sometimes you can ask for that. Yeah, but sometimes they'll tell you, no, this is, room block is 200 rooms, the 200 are gone. I have 10 rooms left, but you got to pay the regular rate. And that's what we want you to do, if that's what he's got.
And I do think that's probably, who has the notability. Some departments and some agencies have leverage with some of these places, and so I'm glad you brought that up, because it's best to ask. There's no harm in asking and saying, you know, if 5 or 6 different counties say, we've got a problem here. That's the only way they're going to change it. So. Okay. When you talked about arrival and departure before, for staying, if you're going to stay the night, day before, day after, I changed it to, arrival time, if you can get to the event by leaving, I changed that to 8 a.m. instead of 6 a.m. on the day of the event, so say that the event starts at noon or at 1 o'clock, and
I think we changed the home after the 10 p.m. I thought we changed that to
8. 6 a.m. was acceptable. It was 8.
Yes, 6 a.m. was acceptable. You could leave at 6 a.m. Wow. 6 a.m. was acceptable.
8
p.m. Yeah, and then 10.
Yeah.
I think we need that at 8 a.m. We need that at 8 a.m.
8 to 8.
8 to 8.
That's good. I think it's been up to 8. Yeah. So, and say what you're saying, because that brings up a good point on this thing.
If you leave before 8, you're going to get overtime involved.
Well, comp time would be involved, but most conferences end at noon on Wednesday.
So well, most of them do that for travel.
Because that's how we handle it. But I'd like to add that, say you can leave at 7, and if you change that to 8, I'm now required to pay a whole other night of per diem and hotel. That's going to cost me more
money. So what this is saying right now, and that's what we're talking about. So if you leave by 8 on the day of the event, okay, we're talking about that should have been 6 a.m., but that brings up the overtime question, okay? Because we're asking somebody, an employee, to leave at 6 a.m. before the normal work schedule, so that would affect overtime deal. The home after 8 p.m. is if you can't get home by 8 p.m., then you can stay another night if you can't safely be home by 8. Most conferences end at noon, or 1 o'clock or something like that, and then you're fine. But some do go to 5 o'clock. Well, if you're in Dallas at 5 o'clock, I want you to have to drive home because you may not get home till 10, 11, midnight.
Comp time as well. So, if you're getting comp time at the beginning of the
day. Yeah, and it's so one way or another, you're getting hit by that all the time. Now, the comp time with some of us, some are actual overtime. So, that would affect our overtime rate. And I think that's built into our budgets already. But this is more about what's safe right here at this point, what is safe and reasonable for our people. So, if we think leaving by 6 a.m., the day of the event, to be able to get there,
and that is looking with traffic put in into your digital map as to what we're not saying in perfect world, we're saying that's typical.
So that's anywhere within 100 miles from here.
Yes.
It's local, big stuff.
In some conferences don't start till noon on Monday or noon on Tuesday, and then so the 6 a.m. with 8 a.m. would be fine. The ones that start at 8 a.m., unless it's Beaumont, you're not making it.
Even name going to Houston.
Yeah.
I mean, how many times have you been caught going to Houston? How long did it take to get from? You and John?
An hour and a half.
The cost of it is.
Yeah, it's a mad out there, so.
And like the chief, I think you said last time, or maybe it was the sheriff, that, you know, if you're in a T-call, if you're doing an examination, a lot of times those do go all week, and on Friday, you're not going to leave before 5:00.
Yeah, they start the class at 8 o'clock, and then you're done at 5, you know, 5.
Yeah, and if that's the case, then you need to stay that night, you know, I mean, unless you're in Beaumont. You know, we don't want you to stay and spend the night here in Beaumont. But if you're in Houston, Dallas, or someplace like that, then yeah, we stay tonight another night. We're trying to do what keeps us safe as much as the deal. We want to be financially responsible.
We decide to start that at 8 or 6.
How we?
I changed that to 8.
Now, the end time at 8. I'm talking about the beginning time.
So is there a mileage?
I think the 6 a.m.
Are we including some kind of mileage?
I don't like 6 a.m. I got to tell you, don't.
Why would you like 6 a.m.?
I mean, if you're going to Austin, you got to stay
at 8. But you said you're not supposed to
make it to Austin. Yeah, you can't make it to Austin if you leave at 8 a.m. for a noon deal. I mean, I've tried. Yeah, it's traffic.
I don't know. We just talked about it. I didn't think we wanted to pay overtime for people.
Well, they're going to make overtime or they're going to make overtime afternoon. One way or another, they're going to. You're one way or another, you're traveling after. Before 8 or after 5.
The bigger problem with this whole thing is truly trying to calculate the travel.
Yeah, and you can't with traffic.
I mean, it's impossible to calculate the travel.
You've got a little
Annie, you got something?
I think like our departments, we don't get overtime. Yeah. And us women would rather leave at 8 a.m. instead of 6 a.m. when it's dark. I know my husband doesn't like me on the road early in the morning.
Yeah. I like the aliens.
Or late at night.
Okay, you say, well, can we stay with that?
Yeah, my husband has been
able. 6 a.m. in the winter time is late.
No, my finger goes on. Yes, yeah. I think 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. is good. If it becomes an issue,
how are we? I
look at it down the road.
So how are we going to calculate the travel time? We're using ways to calculate. What are we using? Because we've got to calculate. You got to figure in the traffic.
You have to do the math. You have to.
Because you have to turn that in for your mileage.
You can use your digital map that you fill
in
the
chapter.
I think the
deal of it is.
Policy, but maybe you have the department has discretion. I've got a lot of children that work for me who think they can't drive across the bridge in, you know, 30 minutes. Like, I have staff that have gone, they were in Denton this week, and granted their training was still 5, but they stayed overnight. Wasn't a room that was expensive, and all they did was party all Friday night.
Yeah.
They weren't working.
And that's what we're trying to.
My requirement to prevent people from going up, because I know what happens at conferences if you go up an entire day early. I've done that before. But could we leave that to the department head discretion if I can require, depending on where it is, based on my discretion? I'm trying to make it more difficult.
I think that we got a basis here with the 8 day, and that gives us the basis to start with. And, you know, like I said, if it becomes an issue that we see is really an issue down the road and it causes a lot of problems, we revisit it. I mean, that's the whole benefit of this stuff. We can look at this stuff down the road if we need to. We have to have a start point.
And I agree with, I think the point is very valid that Jamie brings up, is that the department heads can say no. You've got to be back for.
Yeah, because it's department. It already says it's department head approval to do any of it.
So you can restrict.
As long as I've
got
Steve Bowman in here, that doesn't involve commissioners.
And there is in here, if it's, there's a situation, circumstances, you know, handle the change as graces, and no issues should be resolved prior to travel. I know there's people who can't drive.
They have vision issues, things like that. We should know that ahead of time and make accommodations
so that both our employees and everybody else is on the road. So,
yeah, I think the idea of staying Friday night on account, look, if you get there and you're in a great conference area, I mean, a great area, you want to stay Friday night and make it a long weekend on your own, I think that should be on you.
Yeah, yeah.
And so keep that from being on us.
Right.
Just because it's Friday night, don't say it ends at 5 o'clock when it really doesn't. So you get to stay another night on the county's dime.
Right, and that's fine.
To have a great time.
We require the agenda.
We, yeah, and that's what I said. And we have, you know, I think every one of us have probably stayed, you know, for a little time or two on something. But think about conferences. They like to have nice places. I mean, you know, because that way people go. That's what people want to go to. They want to go to
almost every one of our conferences that we go to ends at
noon or 1 o'clock. And most of them do. But I think there's a few here and there that don't. So we're trying to accommodate.
Yeah, we all like to be home.
If we'll move on to parking, I wanted to put in here, we have several places that we've noticed that have, say it's on the Riverwalk, places you want to go to, and there is no parking on the Riverwalk, and so they require valet parking. It doesn't necessarily say that, but it is on their website, or you can call the conference center and get them to give you information as regards to that. The county is going to pay for reasonable, and so we're saying don't go somewhere and just valet park and just expect the county to pay for it. If it's the only parking available, we're not asking for you to park somewhere unsafe. We don't want you to park, you know, well, I'll park 2 blocks, 4 blocks down the road and the tires are now gone off my vehicle because that's not what we're asking. We're saying, hey, there's parking there. You can park in the parking lot, park there, and
if there you have that secured parking, use that. The only way the county pays for valet parking is if it's the only option available. If there is no other parking. And there are places that have that only. Not a bunch, but there are places. You know, there's a couple hotels, Galveston, I know that we've had stuff at. That's the only that's you valet park, you don't park. I mean, so
sometimes that's the only availability for handicap. And if that's the case, then you definitely will pay for it. But we need to know that information needs to be made available. Hotel taxes, we get this question sometimes. We are not exempt from hotel taxes. We have to pay all city, state, county hotel occupation taxes so that we can come to court and give that out. Review your charges. When you stay somewhere, before you leave, you'll have a bill. Or go down to the, and before you check out, you look that bill over and make sure that you're not putting onto the county personal charges because it's not lawful for you to have the county pay for personal expenses. That's the long and the short of it. We aren't advancing for you to charge either on the county card or on an itemized bill for personal, for the mini bar, for the lounge, for meals, because we're going to give you per diem meals. And this should be done when you're there. It's so much easier to get things taken care of when you're looking at it and don't leave it for somebody else to have to deal with when you get back here. So, paying your personal expenses, go to that exact same item. It's a responsibility. So, what was brought up on last time was that we have some conferences that are going cashless. The conference center as a whole are going cashless. We looked at that, and basically on the site, it tells you, hey, we're going cashless, but guess what? There's a kiosk in our in the lobby and everything where you can bring, if you're a cash kind of person, you can put that in our kiosk in 1s, 5s, 10s, 20s, 100s. And we'll give you a MasterCard. So talking about the debit card, they'll do that, which is accepted any place that MasterCard is accepted. So if you didn't use up all of that money and you're traveling back, you'll still have your debit card to travel on. Or you can get your own debit card with your bank or wherever else. So, or you have your own personal credit card that you put it on. Your expenses, once we've given you an advancement, then it's up to you to spend that advancement. It's not up to the county to be able to separate that off of our card or to advance a charge on the county credit card. Okay, meals. We covered most of this that we the commissioner's court approved for meal expenses overnight, for overnight business expenses to be covered under the VAT daily relief. We'll talk about law enforcement here in a second on expedited, but the GSA rate, you can find the GSA rate at gsa.gov, and there's an app for that. So if you want to look up where you're going, and I'm going to Round Rock, you can go and look on the GSA website, pull down their app on your phone, and it will give you not only the full rate, but it'll give you the 75%, the travel day rate. So we will also have that on the auditor's webpage, and so you can go look and see. I know most people are traveling in Texas, but especially like for transport, it's all over the nation. So that is easy to find. I went out and played with it, really people look at it and see what the new rates. There are going to be occasions when the some are like, we're going to give you per diem travel days are going to be 75%. If you're traveling, and just like we were talking about, if you can get to the conference, so you're traveling and you're going to the conference on the same day, you should get 4 days to do. So, and we were talking about this last time. So I did put in here, if commissioner's court likes it to approve, that if you're going to request a full day of per diem, you need to supply that supporting documentation. And the travel time for the digital map plus your event attendance should exceed 6 hours to qualify you for a full day of travel per day. Is there any comments?
So that's a reimbursement?
That takes you from
75%. So most of the time that we could reimburse, but the
It's
on the advance. You tell us that, hey, look, the conference starts at 1, it's going to go till 5, okay. And the travel time is 3 hours, and you're thinking, I'm going to be traveling plus 8 hours, it's over 6, we'll give you a full day's pay. If you think it should be a different than 6 hours, then tell us how we'll change it. Transportation. So transportation should be the most cost-effective, safe, point-to-point route, considering all factors. So you may have several places that you have to go in between. You give us the point-to-point map, digital map. That's all included in that. Also factor in how many people are traveling. If you're the only one, it may be more economical to or efficient, all things considered, to fly. If there's 6 of you, it's not going to be the best, most economical for the county, unless it's out of state or something like that. So you need to take all of those factors into consideration, and it needs to be up to the department head to say, you know, no, we're going to drive and everything. Also looking at your budget as to how much that's going to account to and bring all the doctors together. If multiple employees are traveling to the same site, to the same event, you need to take the minimum number of vehicles that will accommodate all parties. Unless there's prior approved for authorizing official or department head. So I know we have that it's legal. And so with Commissioner's Court, it would not be legal if y'all had a form. So that is to take into account. We realize that, and it's like I wouldn't put three of y'all in a car together for six hours or whatever. But that's where it adheres to all state, local, and county policies. If someone chooses not to adhere to the county policy, then they can take their own vehicle, but we will pay for it.
Isn't that it only if you have a county vehicle?
No. If I have three people that say I'm going to a conference and an employee of mine is also going to a conference, or I have two or three employees that are going and my guys let you know.
Are we talking about multi-day conference or one-day conference?
So if you're going to travel on an overnight travel and you have, say, there's three people that are going, the most economical for the county is that you all arrive in the one day.
So do we flip to see who don't go in there on board?
I'm saying that if you choose, we're saying, okay, we're all going.
That gets paid for. whoever's
vehicle it is.
If three of us are going, one of us is going to have to drive their own vehicle.
That's correct.
So how do you decide who that is?
Well, the commissioners are still on because we have the quorum issues we have to deal. So they got to think about
But outside of us,
that's what he's talking about.
Then they don't have transportation once they get there. They're basically at this place with no transportation.
Correct. And if there's three of us going,
you both get mileage.
No, he's saying is how do you decide which two has to ride together?
Oh,
who gets the trip?
I think we're getting there.
Get there late.
Okay. I think we're kind of getting away. So I haven't seen that we've had a problem with this
my problem is requiring somebody to ride with someone else, and once they get there, they have no transportation to go anywhere else. I have a little issue.
And so, I mean,
well, but I got to see.
Not really.
Yeah.
I mean, I shouldn't be locked in the hotel the whole time I'm there. I should have the ability to go somewhere.
Well, okay. So, to that point, most of these conferences, They have things that if you want to, they provide transportation to go to events. There's other activities you can if you wanted to get out, you can either you can get yourself a cab.
Uber. Last time I Ubered, it's $30 a trip, and so, but I have a vehicle. Okay, I'm just a little iffy with this piece right here because we're basically saying you have to spend out of your pocket a lot of extra money to go somewhere, or you stay at the hotel the whole time you're there. And if it's a multi-day, a 3 or 4 day event, I think I have an issue with that.
So I haven't really seen that happen, and I can tell you that most county policies will not go there. This is to be economical for the county. If you're going to...
Well, and let's see, can you scroll down a little bit? Not go back there. No, the other way. I'm sorry.
That's where the county be.
Yeah.
Well, and if there's an emergency, you want a couple of vehicles up there because if, say, the tax office has three ladies and one of the ladies has an emergency, and that, I mean, you'd like for both of them to stay and one to go home. I don't know.
Yeah, I thought that just...
just relays that if you have a county, if the county provides the vehicle. You know, I don't like to round the judge because he's got A&M stickers all over his truck.
That's the personal preference.
That's much more than personal, but anyway.
I would suggest that if we're going to go there, then we do not pay for Dan for it. That if you do not, if you choose that everybody wants to do their own, then we will pay for specific expenses. We'll pay for you bring back
itemized
receipts.
Well, I thought, but hang on. So let me go back because I think that on the county, when we're using a personal vehicle, we only pay for mileage anyway, right?
Right. Yeah.
So there's not a per diem.
They want to take every person has their own ability to take their vehicle. But you don't do the must take along for the county. You're saying three of us want to take our own vehicles, and so you're going to give three people mileage per diem. Six people want to take their own vehicles, you're going to give six people mileage per diem.
Well, if there's a county vehicle available, they're supposed to take the county vehicle.
Right. But a lot of, okay. And that applies to, so that's not applying to most departments that don't get a travel allowance and don't get a travel allowance to apply. But that don't have a county vehicle, then if you're taking multiple people, so, Kevin, how many people are yellow?
Three.
Huh?
There's three of us going.
And what's the reason?
We're going to Waco. What is that?
How
many?
There's three of us sharing one room.
Yeah.
No.
God bless you. There's only certain people I do that to.
Look at Charlotte, my guy's behind closed doors.
And that's what I've seen happen most, and maybe that's just like auditors tend to, you know, take a van. If you're going to the same conference, to the same place, then it's really not out of the norm for the county to expect for you to take. Because you got to ask, what are you really there for? I'm not saying that there's some questions.
We're not paying 16 hours a day. We're paying 8 hours a day. So the difference, they have some time after that that they can go do what they want to do, but they don't have transportation, which is difficult. We've got to figure out. I'm all about encouraging this. I'm not sure I'm about requiring it.
Yeah, this was a tough one because I do. I get it. You know, we all joke about, you know, some of us up here driving skills and stuff. But I would have an issue. I think that I need to do some further checking on this one because I think that there's some issues with forcing someone to ride with somebody that they don't want to ride with because of a county policy. I think that sets us up for a different set of liability altogether. I was forced to ride with – Johnny was forced to ride with me driving, and I getting a crunch and munch, and now Johnny's – now not the county's responsible because they made him ride with me. So we've got to – I need to look at this one a little bit more before I think that we need to go because I have an issue with requiring somebody to ride with somebody just because. I mean, I know that there's – being responsible and being deal, but if there's a reason that the person is going to the school or the class or whatever it is, there's a reason they're going there. And so to require them to have to ride with somebody, I got to look into this one.
I've got some issues with that too. Just for, and I know I'm kind of getting in the weeds on this, but for example, both of my parents passed away when I was out of town hunting two different times. Yeah. And the whole hunting trip, I had to shut down and come home. I'm using that as an example. But if the entire auditor's office, tax office is at a conference, and God forbid something happened to one of his family, and now they've all got to come home.
Yeah, I think I need to look at that a little
further. However, think about that, y'all said basically, like you just said, I apologize. That happens to me. My dad had an emergency. He had a heart attack and emergency surgery when I was in San Antonio. And I never drive. I don't drive day or night. I hate driving. So I was in San Antonio, and I had the county pay me for reimbursement to get back. My husband met me in Houston. My drive drove me from Houston. I reimbursed him out of my own pocket, and then had the county reimburse me half back from Houston home. There are ways that as a department head that you can figure that out.
Right.
I think I like the word encourage versus require.
Yeah, I need to look at that. That one is an issue.
Or it could be a county emergency. I mean, you never know.
Yeah.
But also, once your budget is used up, your budget is used up. If you want to see your budget, and three people want to write a report.
Well, it could be a department head or elected official requirement.
That's our decision.
I agree with Mr. Drahan on this. I'm all about encouraging it. I don't know that I feel comfortable with requiring it.
Say that again, sir. Please.
It says that GSA focuses on cost efficiency, reasonableness, and proper reimbursement. They do not require corporate.
Yeah, that's a liability issue. I mean, I need to double check that.
Most economical and advantageous method.
It doesn't say required. Yeah.
And then, you know, say we've got a conference in Austin, and you've got to stay for a couple more days or something else.
Well, what if one smokes and one doesn't?
Yeah, that would be...
Boy, he stopped.
We've shut him off.
There's a lot of...
Yeah.
Well, somebody
and one likes to stop at Bucky's and the other one doesn't. Me and Joel have that issue right now.
Yeah,
because I run it.
We're gonna stop it.
When multiple employees are traveling to the same site, the minimum number of vehicles that will accommodate all parties is encouraged to be used. And then you can take off the rest of that. Let me read the next one.
We'll take out all of that.
Yeah, you can take out all of that.
However, I'm with Jamie that I do think we put upon approval of the department head.
Yeah, that's fine.
It's their budget.
It's their butt. Yeah. And I say, because, you know, and I say, I know people get tired of hearing me say this, but always pay attention to your budget. You've only got so many dollars. And, you know, you have to, if that's the way that it has to fit, and hey, we can, three of us can go if we travel the same vehicle because we only have so many budgetary dollars, that's a choice that y'all make as a department head. You know, and because, like I said, we always have to look at that. Always have to look at that.
And I do think to encourage our employees to get the training. However, it's like, okay, I can pay for you to go, I can pay for this and the other thing, but I can't pay for us to take several vehicles that could be a deciding factor if they want the training or not.
Yeah.
But sometimes there's
required training, and we try to make sure we have enough money in the budgets and everybody's budgets for required training. We try to put some more in there because we know that there's other things that you want to get trained on and learn how to do to be more efficient. We want to support that as well. But at the end of the day, there's still only so many dollars, and we want to make sure we're using that most efficiently. And if the department head's the one that needs to make that decision, then fine. I'm just really forcing someone to ride with somebody else. I just think that opens up another can of liability for stuff.
I mean, that's all under shoes and smoke around, not on.
Yeah, there's all kind of things that fall into that.
And
yeah.
So, as we continue on, let's see what y'all think. The use of county vehicles, because if this policy is stating that when available, you should use your county vehicle for travel. Fuel, we already have fuel cards. If you have a county vehicle, you have a fuel card. Fuel should be on that fuel card.
I think we're about the last ones that don't have availability to a vehicle, so maybe we need to put that in the budget next year.
had one last year.
We had one last year.
We had a vehicle second. Yeah, I had one. Used it, so we gave it to a department. Yeah, we can't all go at once.
But it's going to have a partition.
Do what?
Special limo when sliding along.
Yeah, that would kind of doubt that the approval use of stuff, so.
If we can, so I want to kind of make clear, too, that with the new travel cards,
yeah.
We are not looking to put fuel on the travel cards.
That's what you use fuel.
We have a fuel meal card. That's what you use fuel
for. Hey, Kenny, do you have a question on that?
Yes.
I'm sorry.
No way.
The question is, if they go, they're traveling to West Texas, and this has happened, and their gas station is like, what, 200 miles away from each other, and they get to the gas station and it doesn't take the old main card and it was supposed to, then what can they use the travel card in that situation, or how do they get gas?
We've been running into that a lot lately, and even when we check the app, it'll say it's the fuel main location.
And we've been discussing this, yeah. And it's been brought up with fuel
because that's just a third party app for third party.
Yeah.
And the gas stations don't, they have the right to say, I don't want to be part of fuel. I mean, we're trying to call these gas stations locally, but, I mean, with all the gas stations, save Texas a lot.
Yeah.
That's true.
And I know what they're talking about, because I've traveled a lot in West Texas, mm-hmm. especially on the border, and you got gas stations that are open.
Okay, so we just won't go to the border.
I'm not going to the border.
Can't go there if I don't take
fuel. Yeah, we're going to go to the border then. And we've been running into that a lot, especially if we're going into Louisiana a lot right now. The last four times my team has went over there, that fuel main location, there was one within like 60 miles from where they were.
I think you got to do what you got to do. Yeah.
You know? Well, what they're talking about is for us to open up the travel cards. We want to limit, is that mainly on transport?
Yes, ma'am. Yeah, and I still tell them, hey, do the best you can to find a fuel main, but kind of like Commissioner said, I mean, if you just can't find one, you just can't find one.
That's why we talk about opening up the travel cards, the people that have, like, transport. They have a county vehicle. Open up their travel cards to fuel. I have a travel car, but my travel car would not be open up to fuel because I'm getting reimbursed for mileage.
I would think in a specific circumstance like that, we would
transport, if you were traveling and you have a county vehicle, their travel cards need to be opened up to fuel.
And we're not talking about any people.
No.
Yeah.
Other than transport, I don't see that affecting too many other groups. So maybe that select group, we could open it up to that select group so that they can manage it. Again, encourage them to use the fuel man when available, but if they get in a bind and they've got to have fuel, you got to have
and
fuel.
That doesn't need to be put in policy. That can just be in a agreement
to
do it. Because it's really only affecting a very small group of our county.
And it's addressed down here.
Yeah, okay. We just haven't got that part yet.
I'm always jumping
in. How far are we down there anyway?
84 of 9.
Page 9 is the border place.
I didn't say it was. I just said 4 of 9.
I want to go back to the border.
So we will. This part is still, it is addressed in law enforcement and everything. And let's address it in the fuel that it will be opened up in the law enforcement, if that would be our right, so that it's specifically authorized. Because like...
Well, it says, it does cover that. It says that unless specifically authorized, and we're authorizing it. Yeah. So I don't think you have to change that.
Okay. Approval of a personal instead of a county vehicle. So there are going to be instances, there have been instances when there is a county vehicle that's available to a person, but it is needed or best that they take their personal vehicle. Let's say we know that the transmission is going out on the vehicle. It's okay, you're around here and you're within the county area, and we're working to get that into the shop. But that's not the best thing to do if you're traveling, over overnight, something like that. needs to be made known is, okay, I need to go to this class. Yes, I have a vehicle, but that's not wise. Let's be wise and follow the vehicle. That's all we're saying. But we shouldn't, it shouldn't just be my purpose.
We don't have a Crown Vic anymore, so I hope it doesn't
be this is true. This is true. We provide prior approval, you know, to get approval if there's a reason why and you're getting in advance. If you have a vehicle, let's say it's departmental and normally a particular person uses that vehicle, but it's needed to be here. That person's going to a class, we prefer them to take their first, or they think it's best to take their personal vehicle and leave the county vehicle here for the rest of the department to use. Those situations apply, and that's all this is.
And it says that you just have to get their approval.
If you need an advance, and we know that you have a vehicle, then I need to know why.
Yeah, why you're not using the county vehicle.
Then
and we have had instances where that was
talked quite a bit already about use of a personal vehicle. If two people are traveling in the same vehicle, don't ask us to divide per diem. You know, well, I'm going to drive 3 hours and he's going to drive 6 hours. So we've decided that's the week. We need to then take that money, whoever's vehicle it is, and we need to divide it.
It all goes.
That's not up to the county.
All right.
Fuel's going to be by per diem. So we're not going to put your fuel on a fuel card. That's not, it's now we've given it to you personally. Deal with it personally. Mileage rate. We've already got that in standard already. We're going to use right now, mileage is at 72.6. Travel route. You're going to give us a map of your travel route that might change. And this is one of the reasons why. We give you per diem, we give you an advance on your mileage. When you get back, we do a reconciliation. Hey, you might have had to go see, you know, maybe that kid got transferred to another location. There was some issue where there was another business meeting. So there might be extra that the county owes for the route change or the route. So we will square up when you get home. Auto allowance. So if you are receiving the county auto allowance, you can get reimbursement, but you have to go outside the 50-mile local radius. The 50 miles is something that's in the IRS code once again. So that's what they consider a your business locality is a 50-mile radius of your business. Toll roads. Okay. We will reimburse you for use of a toll road, just like a parking or something else. However, that is your convenience. It is not for the county to have to go and call the say, you know, you got a charge for going on the toll road. All the messing with needing an app or a tag or getting some way to use the toll road properly, or you got a fine, you get penalized. All of that is personal. That should be dealt with by the traveler. And you need a receipt. So with the apps nowadays, it will say, hey, this is the section that you drove, and this is how much. And you're going to turn that in for reimbursement. But don't ask the county to have to deal with the toll. Vehicle rentals. If you are going to rent, this is where we want you to use the fuel.
So, I'm sorry. Can we go back to the toll roads again? I want to read that again.
Feedback.
Thank you. Yeah, because
We've had to deal with this quite a
yes, conflict. Yes, and I don't know
that.
Sure
you cannot tell that by the way.
Yeah, I'm just concerned that we're saying that we would, because to your point, a toll road is a convenience, not necessary. So I don't know that.
I don't know. I mean, freeway might be a necessary.
No, I mean, you remember the situation we had.
What was the situation? Somebody
we just had.
I think this preface is fine with most of the toll roads now. You can get enough for that.
But I'm just
you
saying.
Don't have to get a physical tag. Easy tag.
Yes, ma'am.
You don't have to get an easy tag for Houston anymore. You can go on an app.
I deal with a lot of the toll charges when they come through. Once you go through a toll bridge or whatever it is, you can get on there within a day or two and pay it.
Yeah.
You'll get reimbursed for that. If you don't pay it, after you get back to the county, and like say 2 or 3 weeks later, we'll get a bill.
Yeah.
That bill will have fees and fines on it.
Yes.
That's the part we won't pay. But if you pay, if you get on there and pay it, and then show that you've already took care of it, it's not, and we don't get that we don't incur that invoice that says you didn't pay your bill. You went through the toll.
You
know you went through the toll. Pay the bill.
You get
reimbursed for that.
I think the way it's worded looks pretty good to me, Judge. I
just wanted to make sure, because like I said, we had the issue. I just want to make sure we're trying to cover.
I mean, in some places you almost have to use a toll, especially in the Dallas area. Okay. I don't think you can go anywhere in Dallas without being on the toll.
And there's sometimes you're driving and you don't even realize you're fixing it.
Well, if you follow.
And it's too late.
If you follow MapQuest or Google, especially Google's probably one of the worst. They put you on toll roads.
You have to put that in your bill
and turn it off. But most people don't do that. Okay, I'm good. I just was wanting to make sure I was reading.
And just know, this is costing a lot of time for your administration of the county.
I think that's
not just in my office, but in other offices that are dealing with
it. My problem. I don't use it.
All right. Okay. Sorry. I just want to make sure.
Just sometimes figuring out which department that fine is going to test along. So it's being on a pretty good job with that.
Yeah.
Rental vehicles. So if you're traveling, you're flying, and you need, or for some reason you need taking a rental vehicle, let us know ahead of time. And if things want so that we can open up that travel card. So this is not a county vehicle. We shouldn't be using a fueling card for that fuel that's in that vehicle. We should be using it off the travel card. But and this is, I'm not talking directly to transport. I'm talking to regular travel kind of thing. So we, a lot of those people don't have a county car anyway. So they need to be putting this on the fuel card, but we need to open that card up. So these cards have what's called an MCC code and everything that tells you that it's lodging or that it's fuel or that kind of thing. We want to restrict these cards so that they're used for what they're needed and open it up on a per need basis. So that's all this is saying. And then we can close it out once they're back.
If any, I do have one question.
Yes, we have
actually, if we're traveling and our transport guys are using a rental vehicle, how do they do the gas and all that on that? Or didn't you have a question on that? Or,
so what we've been doing is, especially since we have inmates that are in the rental cars with us, we've been adding the insurance plan along with the fuel plan that's offered by the rental agency, just because sometimes we do have to travel 1.5-2 hours from the airport to these rural counties in order to pick these inmates up.
I would suggest that we put in a special caveat for that, because in this next section you're going to see that we normally do not want you to put on special insurance, but if
I'm just going to ask because I don't know. Why would you carry the special insurance on from a rental vehicle? What's the reason that you're carrying special insurance for that from them?
So what we've just been doing is just simply with that inmate in the vehicle, if they, someone hits us, of course, the first thing the inmate is going to do is cry and say, okay, hey, I'm suing. the county. So we've been doing that as kind of more having that insurance that's offered by the rental car, because then they would step in and it would be on their policy versus on the actual county policy.
Yes, that's a,
yeah, it doesn't work like that, though.
No,
okay. But we still get hit.
I would say that if we open up the travel car, because the travel car has the insurance, and that's why we wanted to do it on with the travel car.
And that way, so then it calls our insurance anyway. Well, they're covered under our insurance anyhow.
It's still going to come to us. Liability bill, but not the vehicle.
Okay.
And that's why we were kind of talking with Missy and everything. I've had this, and so we'd like to make sure that we have, and we have a policy where we're in agreement.
So where does that go if we don't get the policy? It's like we're self-insured.
We're insured anyway. Yeah. So I mean, it's just like whenever we travel on. When you travel on your own, you don't get the insurance on the vehicle there because your personal insurance already covers it. We have insurance at the county that covers all that already. Mm-hmm. We just be duplicate paying it again is what we're doing.
So I guess the next question would be: do we need to provide some kind of paperwork for people who carry a rental vehicle? Something happens, they can show that they have a
typical insurance card.
Okay, that's what I'm asking.
Yeah.
Do we have an insurance card?
Let's get with
Missy. Yeah, we'll get Missy and see. We just don't need to be paying that additional add-on.
I'm fine with that. I'm just saying that if that's the case, we need to have some proof of insurance with the driver when he takes it.
And to point, if you put this on the U.S. Bank travel card, I don't know if anybody else read that paper policy.
Yeah, it has an insurance deal.
It's like your regular credit card that has travel insurance along with it.
So I think that we just keep letting it be covered by us locally on our own insurance, and then that travel card has an insurance rider on it as well. So we wouldn't need to have that separate deal that y'all are doing. And it's just a cost that, like I said, even, no matter what happens, it still falls to us. So at the end of the day, it's going to file on our insurance first, and theirs is a secondary.
Yeah, we're just talking too. I think we can cover. We bring the insurance card with us, so it'll be in our travel bag. So
yeah, okay.
Yeah. That card.
Okay.
What was decided on the fuel? I'm sorry.
Well, the fuel card, they'll turn on the fuel card so that whenever you're
on. We'll turn on the travel card.
I'm sorry,
travel card.
Yeah.
So we'd like the rental car for you to place on hold and then we'll turn on the travel card. You're going to pump what rental car you're going to use and place a hold on that before you leave and everything, and then let us know, open up that. Y'all's will already be
over. Y'all, their transports will be over.
For transport
over. Yeah. Okay, so don't book the fuel anymore. Just simply use our travel cards for the rental car. Okay. Yeah. Got it. Perfect.
The two birds, one stone. Back.
Yeah.
And I may need to change with what y'all just said. I didn't even think about transport on this. Mm-hmm. We would need to put a section in separately for law enforcement or change the wording here. But vehicles are not to be rented for the purpose of transporting non-county employees. So basically, hey, you've got a group that's a club, something like that, and
it's not for the county
to get a group of people to a function.
Yeah.
It is how I want to say that.
So they're in Nashville, they can't rent a car and after hours and then go take a group party to the national clubs.
Well, they're all the employees.
We're not
thinking
they
go for it. Right. So, if that's a stakeout,
Until it's pretty safe with the transport.
Right.
But sometimes we have citizens, volunteers, things of that nature, that we are working with, and this is addressing that although we really appreciate that they're involved with the county and helping us, all in all, they're not employees, and we can't take and select out a single group of our county to apply and switch to. That's not a valid county expense. Air travel is going to, now, I started writing on this before the Iran war. So this, you know, how much money we have for fuel is different now. I'm not looking, I'm just turning this way. It's not transport that I'm looking at. But if it's best to fly, we want you to do that, take it into the appropriateness, the cost, everything like that. Get discounted fares where possible. That's the same as the old travel policy. Arrangements should be made within the department. We're not a travel agency. The purchasing department nor the audit department has the ability, time, or means to make travel arrangements. And y'all have a blessing with Sharla and
did she bring you a kolache this morning too?
I appreciate her. So just know that
I do know
how much she does, and I probably don't know all she does. I know that. When you're traveling, same as always, you need itemized receipts. We need to know who that flight was booked for. It gives you all the necessary information on your ticket, on your receipt for that. And when you're parking in the airport, you know, be safe, to be economical, and make sure that we get a receipt for that. Taxis and shuttles and Ubers and other forms of transportation for county business we will pay for. And nowadays, with being able to put this on, like the Uber app, that kind of thing, it's nice to have the reservation. We have all the detail. Can be held on the county card. Please do that. And then we'll square away with all the receipts when we get back. I saw this in another travel policy, tell you the truth, and I just wanted to put this in as a caveat, that there are other means of travel, and when possible, that consideration can be brought before Commissioner's Court for y'all to decide if y'all want to say, hey, you have your own private plane, and you want to use that for county business, and we're going to reimburse you the fuel for it. That would be up to y'all, and that's all that says, and that's not up to you. So that we know when, where, and why. If the why's not there, write it on there. The who's going on there, write it on there. And it just helps everything get processed. Now, there are occasions when we have bad weather, when things occur that are not in your control and you're on county business. And in those cases, we just want to say is that the county will be involved, like Jamie had said. You know, if you're unable to conduct the business because of a natural disaster, we had flooding, we had things occur. For no problem at your own that you can't attend or for health reasons. The county will reimburse for those. Same with travel cancellations. If the trip or conference was canceled, you'd have an advance for that. If it's not rescheduled within 2 weeks, we need to get that advance back to the county. If it's rescheduled, we'll give you an advance. But if you can't get the advance for the next one before the next court, all we're saying is keep it and square away. It's just going to take you a little bit longer to square away.
Documentation. I do have a question, though.
Yes,
sir. Like, every day is a disaster in the Sheriff's Office. So, I mean, do we have a definition exactly? Because sometimes I get called back for things that wouldn't be classified as a natural disaster, but it's something that we've got to take care of.
Chaos.
Or called back by.
Like a bomb threat.
By the county. Yeah.
Or work duties, or called back due to work duties,
work
responsibilities. Because you're so responsible. Most of the time.
How about that? Well, what is
work responsibility? There you go. That covers it.
But
Chief, you ask and you give.
It's
all about.
If it's canceled because you didn't feel like getting up in the morning, too bad. The sad the other
day. Are you partying too hardy?
I have canceled a lot of things in the last
year. This whole area, not allowable expenses. Hey, if it was personal, or if you messed up and it was on, it's on you, then it's on you. It's not on the county. So penalties and tickets and snacks and alcohol and entertainment and personal dry cleaning. Now, if you have a business reason why you need a dry cleaning, then we'll cover that. But, you know, this is what I would consider your common sense line. But put the caveat in it. So if it's personal, take what's personal.
There are tips in there?
Yeah,
it
says there.
Yes, and your per diem, so meal per diem has a it's meals and incidents. There's a $5 per day for the incidents in your meals and expenses. So, yes, the tips and gratuities are all you.
Up to a percentage.
They're short on the count. We've given you a per diem. Everybody is just thrilled to death about it. We'll totally get it. Is single day. If you're traveling on a single day, then we will still reimburse for mileage.
If you're over 50.
Per your mileage you're doing for business.
If you're on a trip, yeah.
If you're going to the bank for the county, we pay mileage. We pay mileage. However, if you decide that you want mileage for purchasing something out of the county, and there is a business in the county that you can purchase from, and we're not going to pay you to, because you really like the deli in Houston, therefore we're not going to pay for you to drive to Houston to get specific things for an event. Yeah, you can buy it at H&M and get it at Walmart. That's what this is about. We want you to purchase in county if that's available. Also, auto allowance. If you receive an auto allowance, we are not going to give you mileage reimbursement within the 50-mile radius. That's considered local per the auto. Yeah.
And are we covered in there on that all? And I'm trying to see if I see it, maybe I'm specific. But if there is a county vehicle available, you have to run to Walmart, you have to run to the bank, you have to run to do whatever you're supposed to be using that vehicle. That vehicle is available.
That is correct.
Does it state that in there? Because that has been an issue.
It's missing that.
Let's make sure we put that, because if you have a county vehicle available, that's, you should not choose your first vehicle just because you want a mileage expense.
Okay. Thank you. I missed it. Thanks. I'll do that. Same thing, departmental boats. Your mileage is in with the travel budget, and you have to have enough to cover the mileage of the people. We have departments that have to go to bank daily. We have departments that have to go and get things for events and items such of that nature, and we certainly will pay for that. It just needs to be practical. I did have a change that I wanted everybody to know, and we will be putting this out to the departments that this pertains to that we know has this. But when you have people that are getting reimbursed for mileage and filling out the mileage claim form, it needs to be turned in within 30 days after that monthly. If you don't turn it in within 30 days, we are not going to reimburse. This is a change in policy. We have people that turn in for over a year or more in mileage. And
you can't track it that way.
We can't track it. Mileage rate changes in January, and so then we have what we're having to split out a mileage claim. Plus, when it goes over the fiscal year end, we have the tools of mileage claims, and it just gets very messy. And it's not appropriate. If you traveled anything and you're tracking that, if you want to be reimbursed, it needs to be turned in within 30 days of this year.
I didn't know how we were doing that. Or
trying to word it where it's quarterly, but it's the quarterly that I want, not, you know, that it's truly on our quarter.
I didn't know if I
it. No, it used to be 90 days. But we didn't have in here that if it was passive, they wanted to be.
You know, second, I was reading.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Scroll up a little bit up. The officer meals on day of travel.
Oh, well, we haven't even talked about that yet.
Well, I was reading.
I'm a little, I don't know why we treat the other part of it differently.
Well, because most of them are probably not carrying the inmate we're trying to transport somewhere.
Well, still, you're leaving the house.
But before we go there, if we can, I mean, y'all can go ahead and read it. I did want to note on the mileage and on these changes, we'll work with departments on what's in the play right now. And if anyone, I'm just going to say, well, this policy's been passed, and, you know, so that's it. We're going to work with departments that we know have standard mileage, different attorneys, all of that kind of thing. So I just wanted to make that very obvious. And put it out there. And I wanted to talk about you can shoot the messenger. I hope not, because I know who has firearms in here. So.
Well, that's one of the only complaints I've ever got from AgriLife was about the meals on the day of.
But I will tell you, I've checked with all the other counties as well just to see. They're all doing the same thing because of the IRS restrictions.
Yeah, I don't have an issue with them.
They're not paying for it. Yeah, well, I know. But they're not paying for it if it's same-day travel in any of the cases.
And let me say, because this is exactly what with the chief and everything. So, state level, in the state Texas code, it does state that if a state employee is traveling over 6 hours, and they will give them a partial per diem of those 6 hours. However, they will pay that through compensation. It's still not that the meal isn't a valid expense for the IRS. That is, the state has decided that their state employees, if it's gone over 6 hours, that they are going to compensate them, and you will get personally taxed. It's going to go through payroll. It's a reimbursement, and it goes through payroll. Y'all are perfectly welcome to have Commissioner's Court can approve that. And if, I would say if you approve that, it's not just for transport, that it's across the board.
That's where Commissioner's
It's going to have to be, we can't repay it through AP. It's not going to be on a travel card. It's going to be they pay it. And then it has to be reimbursed and it has to go through. You have to get that back on your regular payroll because it has to go on your W-2. The IRS has laws as to how they want your personal tax is what's happening with them. It's a personal benefit is what they say. I know from personal experience, if you're judging at the rodeo in Houston, it's really hard to get off campus, and it is extremely expensive to be here. But that is still, there are new ways around it, and they say that that's a personal expense. And so it has to be that y'all approve additional compensation for the employee under specific circumstances.
Well, that's Pandora's box.
Yes. And I think the paradox is that it's not really travel, it's work.
Yeah.
And they're actually working, and a lot of times they go into these facilities and they can't eat. So I think one of the things that the state does when they pay the per diem, knowing that there's some certain people that can't do things, that usually that happens. So it compensates them not only with meals, but the fact that a lot of times they don't have the same ability to eat like everyone else does, too.
I totally get it. But that's not my purview. Yeah. Say, and that's all I'm making very clear as to what you would be approving.
So the choice here is if we wanted to, in fact, do that, then like you said, we would have to make that across the board. We could.
We don't have to.
No, I'm saying we would have to. We would just, I mean, you know, you're going to open Pandora's box.
It's reimbursing 120%.
Well,
no. The state has a specific that they say they will do a $36 per day if you travel over
6 hours on the same day, and then you have to charge that as a benefit. To they would have to pay taxes.
Yeah, so I'm also going to ask if we have do we know of a means that just like the state legislature, they push things down and then you got
to do something like this even come up.
Well, it has in the past. Most of our folks, the only one it really has probably affected around here is our transport division having the transport, because when they take somebody, they would take the meal. That's where the issues really kind of came up at, and so that's why I did check with the other judges, because I know the state does it, but they do it. The state does it, and they charge them as a benefit. And so we can choose to do that. We would have to get with them. Yeah, day conferences up there would be the same way, and it's the $36 charge. But they wouldn't get the full $36 because it's going to be charged as a salary increase of $36 every time they put one of those on there.
And that would be our recommendation.
But then we'd have to set that up through
the treasurer's office
to be able to pay.
Now they have to contribute to their retirement. All the benefits.
Well, it's going to be taxed. I mean, so
out of $36, you're probably going to get about $27.
They'll have a $36.
That's what it amounts to.
Sir? I'm
just saying, we would have to approve that.
It's reimbursement up to partial per diem,
right,
with receipts.
And I think that if we did that, we should echo the state law, because it says 6 hours away from duty station, so instead of travel. So, I mean, something that actually is the same writing as what we have for state law, then for us to, if we do that.
Yeah, so, Chief, your duty station being the sheriff's office here, right?
Yes.
So that's what qualifies as the duty station. Anything 6 hours away that kept them out for more than 6 hours, then we would implement that at that time?
Yes, sir, because a lot of things, I mean, they for travel for 6 hours, they do a lot of things within 6 hours. They'll travel for 2 hours, go to a facility, wait there 2 or 3 hours.
Yeah.
There'll be a pickup, then travel back. So a lot of times it's just away from the duty station.
So the question goes then to you, Christy, is how would you need to do it if you wanted? If we have wanted to do that here, then how would you set that up? Because it has to go through you.
It would be, of course, a reimbursement, and they would have to send it in through. They have to
receipts.
We wouldn't need
receipts because it's a per diem.
And then it goes to you for the next payroll. Yeah.
So basically, how we would say it up there on this, we would say that we would pay for the meal on that.
We would have to have.
We would follow that state rule. It would be a per diem based off of the state law of the 6 hours, and with all benefits and stuff paid through that, and that gets them there.
It would be a reimbursement, and it would have to be, we would have to have it in the treasurer's office on Friday prior to payroll.
Yeah, but it's not, since you're doing it as a per diem, you're not asking for a receipt, so you're just doing it per diem. What do you need?
The auditor has to have a receipt. You have to have a receipt, and I am not sure.
A receipt for?
Is it up to
$36.
Okay. So it's on the actual receipt. So they have to turn in the receipt. They get reimbursed.
Do they? Or they just get the $36 per diem?
They just get the $36.
Because that's when you get it as non-accountable and accountable with IRS.
So, but since it's taxable, it is under the part of the non-accountable plan. So
We can mirror what the state has.
I just want to make sure, because if you don't...
Chief, can you find out what the state has to, what they turn in? I mean, if there's something, if it's a per diem rate, it's a per diem rate.
I can use exactly the paperwork.
We would just be saying it's a per diem and it's just going to be $36 and then the benefit pays off of that. You know, because most of our per diem stuff, we don't have receipts required. So that's why we do per diem.
Yeah, there's wording in the administrative code that says that you have to turn it in a certain way. So I'll look up that wording, and I'll get with EPS too, because they do it all the time, so I'll get their forms there as well.
And if you're going there, so is that saying that your other departments don't have a duty section?
Well, that was what we were talking about there. You almost kind of have to open that up. If you're going to do it here, you don't have to, but you should, I think. That would be one that... Who else do we think that would really...
See, for us in the sheriff's office, it's mostly transparent.
Emergency management, they're always
there. I'll tell you who we see. We have Environment Health and Code and AgriLife.
Probation.
Sometimes emergency management have either day conferences. AgriLife will have where they're going to, they'll actually be judges at events, or you have somebody who's a speaker at a conference.
Juvenile happens quite a bit more, but they may be transporting them, or they may be doing a meeting with them, a checkup monthly. I would think if we do, we have to do that. I think we'd have to do it for all departments that would qualify of anything that went over that 6 hours.
Can we get some kind of an idea?
Yes,
how
this is
what I can do is get this out to everyone, and it shows the reason why we're asking for this specifically. Because for our department, we don't need it all for the department. We just need it with the guys who are actually.
You said you have a handout?
I do.
Can I have it, please?
So. But we're currently, right now, we are paying for that already, right now. This is a change.
Yes,
right?
Over 50 miles.
Yeah. So we've been paying it. This is what affected. We've just never charged them an IRS benefit.
We haven't been doing it right.
And
I'm done.
Okay.
The majority of the time, my officers are traveling, roughly 5 to 6 hours every week, especially with our TDC chain. Because when that comes in, I have a lot of inmates that are going to safety facilities. Of course, there's not very many of those. So we may be going to, Breckenridge, Texas, or Burnett.
So it's pretty regular.
Yes, it's pretty regular.
Yeah, this is a lot with these guys.
Do you want to have a copy?
I don't know.
Oh, you have it.
Michelle, or you can go in my office.
That's what I thought. So I'll have a copy.
Three for us. So maybe that's another form, a travel form that you'll put on your website just for 6 hours away.
Okay. Well, we've been looking.
Well, if they do it for all employees, that'll be enough.
That's going to be for
well, actually, we need the HR to get cheaper there. Would y'all keep it in there?
If y'all want us to, we can. It doesn't matter, but I don't know.
I didn't know if you needed this. Because it would be in the shed.
Yeah.
Those 36 like that.
Y'all, call it up for them, but they need to see it. It goes through payroll. It's considered normal.
It's a reimbursement. It's a reimbursement through the IRS. The IRS says it's a reimbursement, so it's a reimbursement. You have to have a receipt of what's a reimbursement. But there is a limit
of $36.
Well, so how would we put the fee can pay on that over the 6 hour rate? I think we just need to see how the state how theirs reads. Does it have how the state read? Is that in here how the state's policy reads? Is that in here?
It has the administrative code number there.
Because to your deal, because we need to say that it's a maximum up to $36 with receipt, right?
Yes, sir. I can get you the
with receipt or reimbursement.
Lunch. We should be spending $36 on lunch, huh?
Did you want to?
No, I'm good.
But it's per day, so if it's.
If they're more than one
day,
you know.
Is that the same one we got?
Yeah.
Spend the night, and it takes all this out of the dealing.
Yeah, it takes out.
So this is just 6 hours plus.
And it's on a same day travel.
That normally they wouldn't get a meal.
But I can tell you that the other ones that I've seen and research is to go to Beaumont and attend a day conference or be a speaker at a day conference in Beaumont and everything. So they're away from.
They're on the state.
Is it more than 50 miles?
It's not more than 50 miles at all.
But that was not discretionary. I mean, they didn't have to go do
so
that.
So it needs to be more than 50 miles and away for 6 hours.
But we've got to do emergency management training. If you're working in the command center during the pandemic, we had to go to classes in Beaumont. Yeah. Like, that was where the training was in Beaumont.
It's going to open up all
well, that's what I'm saying. Those are the two things. It has to be more than 50 miles, and you have to be away for more than 6 hours. Those are the two qualifying things.
Well, if it's compensation. Well, I hear what you're saying.
Okay.
But if it's more than 50 miles, then it's over
there.
Yeah, it's over
50.
That's the other
thing.
Don't make it go away.
Yeah. That's
a
really
big. So, right?
So, anything under 50 miles, it's from their workstation.
It's especially you can get more.
But we're already doing
over 50 miles.
It's got to meet those.
Got you. So if you're in Beaumont, then no.
Chief, don't take this the wrong way, but I'm going to say it.
But 50 miles from your duty station.
Yeah. But if they didn't leave the station, they still have to provide for their meal. I'm trying to discern the difference. And I don't mean I don't mean to sound disrespectful, but I'm just trying to discern the difference.
Yeah, I think these guys, they get put in a special predicament because a lot of times when they go out of town and they do the travel or they do the transport, we can't really say it's travel because they have to be with a person.
Right.
So they're with that person, and they're responsible for that person's meals and everything else, not for themselves. So they go into these facilities, and a lot of times they can't eat. So, I mean, it's kind of like, well, they can't eat for the whole day, so it's kind of paying them back for some of the things that they can't do. That's
well, the reason. Hang on.
So then that turned into compensation.
Yeah, well, because now you're covering something that they're not really doing. So there isn't no receipt in that part because they didn't eat.
Yeah, that's one of their I mean, that's one of the things that's happening that they can't do. But some other
ones. Yeah, that's a whole different can of worms there. That if they're not, if they're not doing actually eating a meal, it's going to be hard to give them a meal expense because they have no receipt. We have to have a receipt. So there's no way to do that.
Yeah.
Pack you some protein bars.
That's another dilemma, yeah, because
this is kennel worms.
A lot of times they can't eat, but a lot of times they go out of town and they're just stuck with the person that they're traveling with or transporting.
Before the day and then back. I mean, this is all in the one day. So, they're not spending the night. Spending the night takes care of them. So what have y'all been doing currently on your situation? Sir?
Y'all been charging for the mail driver.
Charging who?
I've been using the cards for
it. Say that, I'm sorry.
County credit card.
But how are they charging them a credit card if they didn't actually use a credit card or something?
They are going to.
Yeah, hang on.
Hang on here.
Oh, we got two conversations.
Yeah.
So
what I'm trying to ask is, so you're saying currently now, how are they getting that meal money now if they're not getting the meal?
Charging them your travel card.
But what are you charging it to?
Yeah,
you
charging it to
if they're getting the meal. If getting the meal. Then they provide us with the receipts that, hey, we're on the drive through. They're able to produce that receipt. If they go on the trip and they just choose not to eat, well, then they just come on back.
But they're wanting reimbursement if they don't eat. They want to be paid
if they don't eat. There's no way to do that. There's no way to do that.
Right, exactly. That's why I was thinking maybe, if they want that reimbursement, maybe they, I don't know.
The IRS requires.
Right. Maybe they give us a receipt if they didn't apply for that reimbursement.
Without a receipt, it's not a reimbursement, it's a compensation.
I think that's it's almost a separate item, so we can probably deal with that item separately. I mean, the biggest item is getting that transport paid for per diem.
Okay, I'm understanding what you're talking about separate.
What
are you talking about?
Get a reimbursed for the meals. That's the big thing.
That's compensation. What we're saying is, So what's the other thing you're talking about?
We're talking about them not getting meals at all.
But you're still giving them a little something.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that does become compensation.
Yeah, that does
for
become
sure.
Compensation.
Yeah, that's a whole different deal. I was trying to figure
so
out.
So right now they're using a card to eat when they eat.
Yes.
A county card.
That's correct.
And what we're doing right now is stopping that.
Yes.
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 Because we're trying to figure out how, staying away from the compensation over here, we're trying to figure out how to feed these guys.
You're right. Yeah.
Okay, but you're telling me that you're trying to get away from the compensation. You cannot.
Yeah.
No, I want to make sure they're only getting paid if they're eating. That's what I'm getting.
Yeah, because they're not going out longer than the day. So, because on any of the other days, and I will tell you, because I do, I've been looking at all this stuff since we talked. And I've talked to several of the, all of the local counties around here to say none of them are compensated for this. None of them. You know, if it's a day deal, then, I'll tell you, one of them said, just, pack your lunch kind of deal is what he said. And I get that because he said it does, because it gets into a deal of compensation to where then we'd have to bring our treasurer's office in and they have to start tracking it and paying for all that, acquiring receipts. He said, but it's to them, what they said is, you've got a judge that's working in the jail and he's feeding those same inmates three times a day, but we don't feed the jailer, right? I mean, we don't feed them. So why are we choosing to feed now? And that was their response back to me when I asked them about it.
Now, how long y'all been doing?
I've been in the business for 4 years. That's how long we've been doing it.
Well, and look, and I get that, but we might have been doing something for a long time. I mean, it was right. We're trying to correct and make sure we're doing things the correct way according to our IRS rules. And so that we, during these audits and these things that we give, we're not getting ourselves in a bind. We can't answer all of these questions.
Yeah, I think that what we're going to do is just ask for an amendment to the policy. So those rules will go where they will get fed on a per diem basis.
But a per diem doesn't, I don't think we can do a per diem.
Not per diem, but like on the other.
But they have to have a receipt.
Yeah.
So they have to eat.
That's going to have to be for everybody.
Well, we all have to eat. Or we all have to choose one.
Or they were not eating at all. That's what they were saying.
They're not eating at all, but they're not going to eat at all. But they want to give them something.
They still want the money.
They still want money.
So if the county, I'll eat if the county pays for it, but I want to eat if the county is not going to. That's what the county is.
Not really. I mean, I'm telling you that these guys are put in a position that is different from everybody else. Because I don't want that. I mean, I definitely don't want it. The rest of the sheriff's office doesn't want it. It's just for the few guys that work in transport.
Yeah, but if we cover, I mean, I know that sounds like, but if I cover this over here and I got somebody else doing a similar job and doing something else that they're gone for 6 hours, you know, then we, how do I not apply that there? That's
well,
what
I don't think there's a single job as transporting an inmate.
No, but.
But I get what you're saying, too.
Yeah.
But
my question would be just, is it the right thing to do? You've got guys that are, I mean, you could like the judge said, you could pack a lunch or you could eat wherever you take the inmate. You're going to have to get your meal during that day, whether you were here or there. That's kind of where I'm at on that. And just trying, I know we've done it for a while, but I'm still trying to figure out, were we doing the right thing or were we doing the wrong thing? And I don't really know the answer just yet, so.
Well, I can tell you, according to the IRS rules, we were doing it wrong, okay? Because we weren't charging them the compensation side of that. And if we continue to do it, whatever we continue to do, if we continue to go forward with what we're doing, we've got to do the compensation.
If the way it is right now, Judge, is that we can go through the water burger and feed the inmate, but not the, wouldn't be able to feed the officer in the car.
But the officer in the car can't eat. He just has to
bring it on. Yeah.
I mean, the inmate meal is a valid expense.
Oh, I know, because we're required by law.
Because
they're
in our custody. And
it's
if
two
they
meals
don't
a day, right? I think it's two meals a day is what we're required to give an inmate.
Two meals?
I think it's two.
We usually give them.
Well, I know, but I think the requirement is we got to do. Depending on how long they're gone, but yeah. I mean, they get fed three times a day. So.
And I mean, it's a whole new world to me. If they're taken someplace, it's like they were telling us. And
so,
if they've missed them feeding the inmates, they don't get fed until the next time the inmates are fed. So.
Well, this conversation started out as a way of. They were getting fed and they were going to keep getting fed unless they couldn't, and we were reimbursing them for when they couldn't or when they were able to eat whenever they could, and that's turned into just a compensation thing. We're just trying to figure out a way to pay them, what it sounds like, just give you extra money. I don't know, that's a contract negotiation in my opinion.
I'm just curious because I'm new to how all this works.
Me too.
Right.
Yeah. So, pretty much all of us are new to what we're doing right now.
Right.
Yeah.
Is there, we just out of curiosity, say my team goes and they are further than 6 hours away and they say, okay, hey, look, we got caught at the jail and then, you know,
yeah.
we're going to drive back, and they do stop and eat. Could they apply for the reimbursement then? And it's kind of like, I guess what I'm trying to say is if they do eat, can they apply for that reimbursement? And if they don't, hey, you miss out on it. Is that a way to do it? Or
I think that would be the only way if the commissioners approve it.
Right.
That's basically what we're talking
well,
about.
Well, and their compensation is
right.
That if it's past their 8 hours, they're getting overtime.
True.
Well, and then, I mean, this is like
because they're, I mean, it's past their normal time to get off, so their compensation is they're getting overtime, right? So that's their compensation.
If they stop and eat, they reimburse that.
That's part of their day.
Yeah, we're paying all of them too.
This one is just a tough one because it's something we've been doing inadvertently, probably wrong. Well, not probably, it is wrong.
And IRS says we can be as generous as we want.
Well, you just got to charge them the compensation, right? And so, realistically, the question is if we want to continue to do it, they have to provide receipts and it has to go through compensation. And it can be a maximum amount of $36 if we're going to do this. And the biggest question is how far across do we want to just limit it to the transport? Or do we, or do we say that this only affects them, or do we say that it is a across the board issue?
Do we have to pay the $36?
No.
Well, that's what the state.
But
the IRS is limit. It's $36.
No.
That's what the state says.
Yeah. The state is $36 for over 6 hours, and it's compensation
up to $36.
And basically, what the IRS says is we don't care. It's called a non-accountable plan. If you wanted to pay them $100, just know it's compensation. it's got to be students. And if you're going to reimburse them for it, they're going to pay for it, and they're going to get reimbursed. And it's up to y'all to set the county policy and see if you want to get that extra compensation or not. It is not a business expense for the county. This is what it's down to.
It's not like a big, beautiful deal.
And that's exactly our argument there. It's like, this is different from everyone else. So, because they do a transport instead of travel.
But I guess, Chita, no other county's doing this but us, apparently. I'm a little concerned with that. Why would they not be doing it? Okay.
There's other counties that do it. I'll get you a list.
But I guess Jefferson, Hart, and Jasper's not doing it?
Well, some of the counties actually have transport policy.
Service.
Yeah, transport. So a lot of those counties, like Jasper, and
They have a contract.
They have a contract.
Their officers don't do it. They have a contract. Right. In and transports the officers, and that's they pay a set contract fee. You know,
this is not a simple issue.
Is that what it was? I'm going to ask a question here, and it may not even be pertinent to this, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Is there a reason why we would not use a transport service ourselves? Is that not more efficient or less efficient? I'm asking the question is in general.
Because I'll be honest with you, Judge, we kind of looked at it, yeah. But we haven't really explored it well.
What did
we
talk about?
I think other people have done it. But I think it's
about
kind of
transport.
Like,
yeah.
The reason Jasper County didn't sound like
because they're smaller.
They're smaller and it's individualized. So one transport's going to cost a whole lot less than having a transport division.
Yeah.
And if I may, we did used to have that transport service. However, that company went out of business under the previous administration. We looked at doing another transport service, but it was considerably more expensive.
It wasn't the cost and the liability.
Okay, that's what I'm saying. I don't know.
I do remember that conversation. Yeah.
But I do know that you're right. That Jasper County, Newton County,
if we're going to start paying $72 a day for two deputies to transport somebody, it's not going to be cheaper anymore.
And should the court consider that I'm a receipt Nazi? So I'm on my guys very heavily about receipts, so getting receipts not an issue.
Yeah. We'll look at the cost effectiveness to be sure, because we haven't explored it yet, but we will.
Because this lunch situation is, if I understand this right, it's never going to be one deputy. It's always going to be two, is it not?
When you transport an inmate, it's always two inmates. I mean, two.
So we're not talking about one guy. We're not talking about $36. We're talking about two guys,
up to $72.
Right.
Multiple days a week
per trip.
Yeah. Of course, you know that's not daily. Most of the time, my long trips like that are essentially once a week. Very rare is that twice a week.
Well, that was why I was asking earlier how many times. That was what I thought was going to be in this was how many times a week something like this was happening.
Yes, sir. It's most of the time at least once a week.
At most.
At most. I've seen it three times in one week, but that was a rare occasion, only because I had, three particular ISF transports.
Right. It's just not something that happens daily. That's what I was getting at.
No, sir, it's not daily.
And then we have the overnight that we're not even talking about, and how often are we, that just kind of goes.
On the overnight, that varies. I mean, for example, next week I've got two that were just dropped in my lap, but.
Yeah. Those are overnight, though, right?
Correct.
Yeah, those.
So this doesn't entertain them.
And us paying flights and lodging.
Yeah, this got
a lot of expense with everything. I mean, we have to do it.
Yeah, we've been working behind the scenes with Penny on a lot of this.
Yeah.
As she knows. And we've tweaked it, and we worked together on it to get where we're at. So we really like the way it's at right now. And then there's some things that we really needed to do to get some definitions for some things too, but I mean, there's been a lot of work that we've done. So.
I appreciate y'all doing that work behind the scene, but I think it might be beneficial if we were all involved in some of those conversations.
Well,
like
and I've talked to Penny about it. I mean, we've had a lot of conversations about this kind of going in, and it is, but the sad thing is I can't take it to all of y'all unless we're sitting here.
Well,
so.
It's taken a lot of going through a lot of the law and trying to find out
the operations
to get it
stuff,
to
right.
where we can give it to y'all. Not saying that we were trying to have a lot of
I didn't take it as you were trying to do anything behind the scenes or anything.
No, it's just
it's beneficial.
It's hard for us to make a decision when this is the first time that most of these guys have heard this. Well, all of them have heard this for that deal and trying to make sure we're doing the right thing as well.
And with this, I do have a question for the chief on, so with the inmates in hospitals, the people that are staying, our correctional officers that are staying over there, is that normally they're at least overnight? Or are some of those correctional officers staying just during the day?
I believe it depends on where it's at. And so if it's local,
they shift change, right?
Yeah, it changes. If it's like in, we have one in Kerrville, right?
And they were there 24 hours.
But they're staying overnight, so correct. They go back to the overnight.
Sometimes.
So
they're
staying.
From what I understand, most of the end of
we have a
hospital, a lot of times, the correctional officers in the cafeteria.
Yeah, they're not allowed to leave the side of the inmate.
Right.
But, you know,
I don't know that that's one that, I mean, I'm just getting the feeling without having, but I don't get the feeling that we're, that everybody's on board with wanting to pay that at this point. Am I wrong?
I'm not against it.
I think we need more look at this and then and see, because like I said, whenever, you know, I try to make sure that I talk to other ones just to kind of find out if you want to get us a list of something maybe, and then I can talk to them, we can both talk to them as well to see why and how.
We can
adopt as is, because we need to adopt as is so we can get this on the next.
The policy as it is does not allow for that. If you want them to keep receipts,
we can't adopt anything today.
No, we can't. That's what I'm saying. So as we're looking at it, I'm going to try to come up. So our next court session is the 14th.
Yeah.
Now, so that gives us 2 weeks, and then maybe we can get more clarification on this before we put it on the agenda, because it'll be on the 14th agenda to adopt this. And if there's any language maybe in the middle, we can figure out something that we can get to. And I can tell you, you talk to them, I just can't talk to them about it, okay? Make sure that I follow the rules. I don't want to get
trouble. Send the emails individually.
On your analogy you used a minute ago, Chief, if you said that if they're transporting somebody and they bring them the Whataburger, they can buy the inmate Whataburger, but they got to buy their own food. If you weren't transporting somebody that way, that day, would you not be going to Whataburger and buying your own food that day?
Yes, there is.
Trust me, I'm just trying to be right, understanding all this.
Yeah, absolutely.
It has been being treated as just a kind of, I guess, like a little bonus for being the transport.
A little benefit.
Yeah. But we got to treat it as such if we're going to continue that. And the question is do we continue?
And before right now, I didn't even know that was happening. So.
Okay.
I did.
Well, okay.
Russ.
Yeah. Okay. All right, what else was after this one? Because is there anything? I thought you said you were just
about done. You said you were done.
No, we're on page 7 of 9. We just got 2 pages.
Yeah, I think this was the big
one. This is the big one.
We should have had that in the beginning.
This was the big
one. We were waiting for this one.
No, because then you'd be sitting here going, we're 2.5 hours in and we're still on item 1. At least we're 2.5 hours in and we're
well,
on
at least
item
1.
Chris is talking to
Yeah. There we go.
But this is the second time we're doing it. Yeah. Got to add another hour.
Oh yeah. Well, we went through the first part though. The first hour.
Feel better. I've spent a lot.
I've spent a lot of hours with her doing it.
Moving right along.
Oh,
moving
yeah.
right along.
Well, it's good that we're all looking at it.
We're looking to put in the special law enforcement caveat and everything that basically their travel's not coming before commissioner's court. If it's for expedited or transport, they need to do investigation. whoever is over that department is going to be able to approve that travel.
Shouldn't it say in there, because you said you've got the 50-mile radius, and I know we haven't adopted this yet, but 50-mile radius as well as the over 6 hours. It's not nowhere, because 50 miles could be you're just going to the other, you're going to Winnie and back. That's not.
Where are you seeing the
number two?
Yeah, number two. You have the 50-mile radius. Somewhere it should also say 50-mile radius and or the 6 hours, over 6 hours.
This was originally written to not concluded the sit-down. So if y'all want to put that language in, we will change that. But basically, this says, hey, this is day travel. And I was originally talking about the authorization. We're not just talking sheriff's office. We're also talking DA, juvenile probation, adult probation. We're talking within the sheriff's office, the jail, and the felon. And we're also talking, they may have investigators or the deputy going, and that is approval through that department. Just want to make that clear. Then we go to this officer's meal on day travel. It basically says, hey, right now, we don't have a policy that gives them that as compensation, so it's not allowed. It's not overnight travel. That's what, in a nutshell, that number two says.
Look, to me, I'm reading this as that we are allowing that.
And it says it's taxable to the employee for the IRS.
If we approve it, we have not approved it.
Any reimbursement, if we do it, is compensation. And it must be separately written and authorized by Commissioner's Court. And y'all have not authorized that. I was just saying, I put that in lieu of being touched. Y'all made this change.
Okay.
We can pay, we were just talking about that. We'll pay for the bill of bringing day travel, multi-day travel, people in there. That's a given.
Yes.
But it needs a receipt.
Yes. Basically, everything across the board when it comes to any of this, of anybody, has to have a receipt and documentation.
Yes.
No matter what it is.
Yeah. Unless you're getting in advance with per diem, you're going to give us a receipt for us to be able to say it's a business purpose.
Battery dead.
We still may not make it through this.
Battery on pro.
I have it on paper. Okay, so we have the forms. We've been doing travel for a long time. We've just made the tweak of saying that, hey, if you're doing a registration or something, you're going to put it on the PO. Plus, the departments are already doing that. We've been working with them. If you do a travel card, you're going to put that in as a requisition PO. And this is for several reasons. Because you're on credit, this is the county credit, and we have a global limit for the county. And so if we're waiting for a statement to come in and to pay everybody at the statement, that goes against our credit limit. And we've had to, the city bank had to bump it up several times and get to where, oh, guess what? Your card is not, it's not being able to be funded. We hit our credit limit. We had to either bump our credit limit or people out on transport are not going to, their card's going to be declined. So with going to where we're going to do this per event, when you get back, all your receipts are turned in. We process through purchasing is giving you travel stamps and everything, but we can process this quickly, get it paid prior to the statement so that we can keep our credit for the county low. The other thing with U.S. Bank is that there's an app for that. And you can take, what we want y'all to do is to know that it's much easier to keep track of your receipts now. So with the U.S. Bank app when you register for it, you're able, and I think y'all are doing this now, right?
She does.
So they can attest for whether it's, how easy it is. But as soon as you've made that charge, you take a picture of your receipt. Now you have it. You're not going to lose it. You've got it on your app, and you can turn that in with the requisition. So we want to have this where it's as easy as possible, and it's easy to process once you get back. And it's not like, I don't remember where that receipt was, blah, 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 blah. As soon as you get the receipt, it's emailed to you, whatever, you can attach it, and you're going to move on.
One thing that, it's taken them like 3 to 5 days to post it. instead of like immediately posting that information for us to scan it.
So that you have something that attaches to it.
Right.
So.
Yeah, I'm waiting on like flights that I booked last week. I'm still waiting on those to hit my account. That way I can upload those receipts to it. So it's been called a little bit of that.
But other than that, I'm just working pretty good there.
Yeah. Because Citibank wasn't like that. As soon as you get the it came through. And I don't know why.
Oh, no. You got to study.
That's it.
Yeah, we can have more than just 3 days because it's taken a while to post them. So.
Okay. And we can also change that like 3 days after posting before you pick a week. I'm just trying to get into where we have enough time and how we... We'll think about that. We'll make a change.
Well, she can call the rep, too, and find out why. What if their process
was
taking
so long?
I can see their available credit going down, but, like, the actual transactions to, like, upload their receipts to, it's taking, you know, like, upwards of 5 business days to get that.
Because I did my conference, I think, almost weeks ago, and I saw it still has not showed up on my credit card. I'm like, a crap, I ain't registered, but I got my email saying I am, but it's not on my statement.
We're in the infancy stage of work. We haven't got the first statement with US Bank yet, so we will work that with the reps and stuff like that. We're going to work to get that to where the processing of this is a smooth process. But our advance hasn't changed. Return from travel, so your travel expense.
Sorry, we had
a malfunction back
here. Processing forms having no change. We're just adding how we're doing a purchase order on the back end for the travel cards. And then the last thing was last two things is basically
more than 9 pages.
Yeah.
And this, I know. So, with the travel card, basically this is your pay read the fine print. This, you're charging items. This is a state awarded card. It's got rules that you need to know. It's administered under both the state travel policy. It's restricted to travel. It is a purchase card, and so if you violate the rules of how you're supposed to use it, you don't document your fee, we'll take the card away. And if you do personal charges to it, you're not going to pay.
Now, on the purchasing side of the card, I show people don't use them.
Yeah.
I can call a chief and sheriff, don't use them. Just lock them up. Don't use them. Don't purchase them.
And that's a whole separate conversation. The very last thing is basically if we find out there's a travel claim, we've made other payments, there's been a payment error, you're going to pay that back. Just because it's happened before doesn't make it right, doesn't make it like there's policy and then it's going to be a good thing for you.
So if you're a multi-offender, the transport division gets to come get you.
Gee, I think that's most I've ever heard you laugh.
And I said it.
All right.
That's it.
There you go.
I appreciate everybody's time and listening and working and stuff. I really appreciate Tasha because we put her through the ringer.
Well, it's a big deal, you know. I mean, and I don't want to look. Like it's not. Look, this isn't the most exciting stuff we get to do on a day-to-day basis, but it's important, and we got to meet these guidelines, and we're trying our best to do that without putting too much on us to be able to do it, but we got to do it. I mean,
but the travel cards are new.
Travel cards are new.
It's time to update it all.
And, you know, and thankfully we don't have to go through this, you know.
There's a reason it hadn't been done in 10 years.
There's a reason, yeah, because it's a deal. But it was necessary to do, and I, as well as everybody else, appreciate everybody's time.
Very much so.
Effort into getting this done. So
I want to jump back to about the continuing education. I'm reading the statute. It said you got to have it no matter if you're. But is there something else out there?
Absolutely. I guess to that point, you'd say that you couldn't do it. It's just that you had to get your travel expense approved to court.
Why?
Because you were not, they knew that you weren't.
But it's something that's required to commission.
But it's not required if you lose or you don't run again.
And I remember that, and when we looked at that, I'll be honest with that, when we looked at it the last, I think, 2 years ago, but that was really more, I know it had to do with elected officials and how they're, and all the expenses and all the stuff that they have in there. It locks them up. It actually does it all around.
But it's something that's required.
Yeah.
I don't think it should lock that up.
Good. We'll find that, too.
Well,
all right, we got anything else? Anything else? All right, we're thankful we don't need a motion. Okay, well, we're going to close. Is everybody good? And we will close this workshop at 12:06. And thank you all again.